Scripture reading this morning is going to be Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here on this morning. But we're really thankful for the members of the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We want to encourage you to continue to hold steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, striving to develop your character into the character of Christ, because that's what it's about. That's how we're going to be drawing men and women to Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of what Jesus said on one occasion, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And the way that we lift up Jesus is by denying ourselves. Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew 16 in verse 24, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me." So that's what we want to do. As Christians here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, we want to deny ourselves, take up the cross, his cross, our cross, and follow after him. I was going to be preaching on the one body this morning, and as I was studying, something else came to my mind, and I came across some things that became very interesting to me. And I asked myself, have I ever preached on the judgment day? And I've alluded to it, just like many subjects that I need to get to and preach on and be very specific with. And I don't think I've ever been very specific with this particular study. We're going to do two parts. We're going to do this morning and tomorrow and next Sunday. So we're going to be taking our time and looking at the reality of the judgment day. The reality of the judgment day. Before you start thinking of the negative, think of the positive. I'm reminded of what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, that the things that he was doing was against that day. We know that Paul himself was living faithful to God. He was doing that which was right. But we know that there is a negative side to the judgment day. So we want to talk about some things as it relates to the judgment day. I'm thankful for Brother Colby and him reading the scripture. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. I'm reminded of what the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 9 and verse number 27. "As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, after death, the judgment." Friends, after the judgment, or after death, we're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. As Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, the things that we have done in this body, whether it be good or bad. I want us to take into consideration Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Here we find John as he is seeing a vision. And we know it's a vision because the things in which he saw were not on the earth. The things which he saw were in glory. He said, "I saw a great white throne," verse number 11, "and him who sat on it." We know the one who sat on this particular throne as it relates to God, but also the Christ. We know, according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, that Jesus is going to be the one that's going to be judging mankind, John 5, 22. There the Bible teaches us that God reserved all judgment unto the Son. The Son is going to be doing the judging. So here we see, "from those or whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, And another book was open, which is the book of life. Books were open. That's interesting. Books were open. Another book was open. Here, John tells us it's the book of life. I'm reminded on one occasion where the Apostle Paul was talking to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4 and verse number 3, and he talks about those names that are written in the book of life. You know who he was talking about? Euodia and Syntyche. He was talking about individuals that were doing the will of God. You know, that also teaches us that it's possible for us to have our names in the greatest book ever, ever written. That's the book of life. Oh, friends, we know that we have to look at this spiritually. We know that there are no physical books as relates to what's going on in heaven. If anything, what's in the mind of God? God doesn't forget anything, whether good or bad. He knows exactly what's going on in everyone's life. But notice, and the dead were judged, notice, according to their works. That's in line with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. By the things which were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. We think about the judgment day, friends. We must consider some things. The book of life is also known as the Lamb's book of life, Revelation 21 and verse 27. When we consider this great book of life, Daniel had something to say about this. I'm just going to give you a reference because I want to get further down the road than what I think I'm going to get. We know that there is going to be a raising up, a rising up, a standing up from the dead. Daniel brings that out in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. But turn your Bibles to John chapter 5, verse number 28 and 29 as we continue our study. In John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus had something to say about those particular words that Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Notice what Jesus said in verse 28. Marvel not, or do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. It's interesting that every single individual who has ever died will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Every individual will hear him. Notice what the Bible says. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Friends, when we consider good and evil, remember the garden. When we consider good, God is always good, Psalm 73, verse 1. Evil is always attributed to the evil one, the devil, Matthew chapter 4. When you consider the definition of evil, it is the pulling away from good. God is good. When one conducts themselves in an evil fashion, one is pulling themselves away from God. Here we see on that last day, it's going to be a rising up. It's going to be a raising up from the grave, those who have died. We also understand when we consider the judgment day. The judgment day is a reality because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 17, and there you'll see this particular point substantiated and validated. In Acts chapter 17, starting at verse number 30, notice what your Bible has to say. Truly, these times of ignorance, keep in mind who Paul is talking to. He's talking to those philosophers in Athens. You remember they always wanted to hear something new. And he points them to Jesus Christ. Truly, the times of this ignorance God overlooked or winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, ordained. Now notice, how do we know that the judgment day is a reality, that it is true, that it's real? It's a reality because of this part of the verse. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Friends, if Jesus was a real individual, if Jesus was truly the Son of God, and if Jesus truly was on the cross, and God truly raised him up, There will be a day of accounting. There will be a day of reckoning, if you will, that God will look at all of our deeds and all of our speech. Friends, this is a great day, yet it's a terrible day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse number 10, notice what your Bible there has to say. Friends, nobody will get away from the judgment day. There is no respecter of persons. One cannot hide behind rocks. One cannot find a tree or dig themselves in a great hole or chasm or abyss and get away from God. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, where he says, if I go to the grave, you're there. If I go to the deep, you're there. I can't get anywhere from your spirit. There is nowhere that we can go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse number 10, notice what your Bible there has to say. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Notice, friends, everybody's going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. And because of this, friends, those of us who are doing that which is right, it's a blessing. Those of us who are not, it's not. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 21 through 23, we understand that Jesus is going to be the judge. He is going to be the one that's going to be judging us. In Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 21 through 23, you could put in your notes John 5, 20 through 22. But here in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21, notice what the Bible there says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, he's talking about now, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about heaven itself. Notice what he says. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day. Now notice what Jesus calls the judgment day. He calls it that day, and we'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Cast out demons in thy name? Done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare or profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. We see here on the judgment day that there's going to be a slight conversation, if you will. It's as if people are going to try to justify themselves before God. Friends, the time of justification is now. Why? Because if anybody is going to be justified, Romans 5 verses 8 through 10, they're going to be justified by the blood of Christ, therefore being saved from the wrath of God. When we're saved from the wrath of God is because of his blood and because of the gospel. When one obeys the gospel, then one shouldn't have to worry about the wrath of God if they remain faithful even to the point of death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. So here, we understand that God is going to be doing the speaking for us if we can just remain inside of the gospel. But then, notice, when we consider the judgment day, it's known by some things. A few passages. Notice, Romans 2 and verse 5. In Romans 2 and verse number 5, and I dare not look at all of these passages, but notice, the judgment day is also known as this. But in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, look at this. Two things that the day of judgment is going to be known as, or is known as the wrath, or the day of wrath, and also the revelation of the righteous of God, the righteousness of God. We also know that the day of judgment is known as the day of God, 2 Peter 3 and verse number 12. But it's also known as that day, according to 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 10. But turn your Bibles to Philippians 1 and look at verse number 6. Pope Joy, when I saw this, I said, man, I haven't recognized this until I was looking at this study. It's interesting that when we really focus in on a particular subject, what is actually coming forth in the mind. Notice in Philippians 1 and verse number 6, what the judgment day is known as. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, notice, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of judgment is also known as the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to be that day, Brother Braswell, that when Christ comes back in the cloud, he's going to come with his mighty angels in flaming fire. He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the day. It's a great day. It's a wonderful day. But it's also a day of wrath and destruction for many people. But then Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has something to say. You know, if anybody's going to listen to anybody, you listen to Jesus. There was a time and when I was a little kid, they say, E.F. Hutton is speaking. Everyone's listening. Well, you know what? When Jesus speaks, everyone ought to listen. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 15, notice what Jesus calls it. Surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You go to chapter 11, look at verses 22 through 24. Notice what Jesus also calls it. It's interesting. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, those are those coastal lands, in the day of judgment than for you. It's interesting. He calls it the day of judgment. Drop down to 24 for time's sake. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon were not good places. There were not good people there. And here we find that Jesus, is, as he's talking to these Jews, he's saying, it's more tolerable for them than it is for you in the day of judgment. The day of judgment is a great day. It's a powerful day. But turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, yes, we're all over the Bible. And this is just part one. We have more next week. You come back and you'll get the rest of it. Friends, this is so powerful that God is warning every man and every woman that there is going to be a great day. And since it's going to be a great day, we ought to strive to be the people that he desires. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 7, notice what the Bible says. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word. Don't you know that when God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it. You bring out Hebrews chapter 1 and from that same word is still existing. Here we find 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 is going to be by that same word. He's going to destroy it. We see the consistency in the scriptures. Unlike some of our preacher friends, even in the Austin and Dripping Springs area, who are saying things as relates to our renovated earth, which is not true. And when we stop and we consider that, friends, God is going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy the heavens. And this is why when we consider Revelation 21, verses 1, 2, and 3, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, that which is of a different kind. Friends, the Bible is right. Notice what it says in verse number 7, the latter part. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, and are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment. Look what's going to take place on the day of judgment. That the earth and the heavens and everything that we see is going to be destroyed with fire. Just as God said, I will no longer destroy the earth with water anymore. I'm going to put a bow in the cloud. That's exactly what he did. So what is he going to do the next time? He's going to destroy it with fire. He's going to destroy it. He's not going to renovate it. Why are you going to renovate something that's not going to be necessary? He's going to destroy it. But then we also see something in this particular text. In verse 10, he calls it the day of the Lord. But come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away, a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Notice this. God is going to burn up everything on the day of judgment. It's going to be a great day. Why is that a great day, Brother Bonner? That's a great day for those of us who are living according to the Spirit's teaching. Galatians 5 and verse number 16, who understand that this life is just temporary. We're just pilgrims passing through. 1 Peter chapter 1, and as we're passing through, we're trying to tell people about Jesus Christ and righteous living and the regeneration and repentance and the glory of Almighty God. That's what we're doing. So we're looking for that new heavens and that new earth, and we're looking forward to being with God throughout eternity. Oh, but what is going to judge us? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. Oh, John chapter 12, a very familiar passage of scripture for us. In John chapter 12, starting at verse number 47. And if anyone hears my words, this is Jesus, and does not believe, I don't judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. It's interesting that when Jesus came, he didn't come to judge the world at that particular time, but to save him, John 3:16. But then notice, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has one to judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Notice what Jesus calls the day of judgment. The last day. The day of the Lord. The day of Jesus Christ. A day of wrath. A day of righteous judgment. Notice what he goes on to say. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me and gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Friends, what is Jesus going to judge us by? He's going to judge us by the word. But what is Jesus going to judge? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36, every idle word will come to the judgment. Friends, we have to watch the words that we speak, which means that we ought to be a people who are strategic in our words. We're not just saying things just to be saying them. I told the class on Wednesday night, sometimes when we get older, we think we can say what we want to say because we're older. Wrong. If anything, our wisdom ought to kick in and we ought to be saying less, and the words that we use ought to be more of a strengthening than a degradation. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow. The reason why is because the older I get, I ought to become more and more like Jesus. Why? I'm looking forward to that day of judgment. The younger I am, I expect foolishness. The older I get, I expect wisdom. I expect wisdom. Therefore, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 14, the secret things in every work will be coming into judgment. Then turn your Bibles to Revelation 2. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, in verse number 16, notice this one verse right here. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. I hope some of the things that we're saying is encouraging you, but I also hope that it's getting deep into your heart and it's purifying your soul. Notice verse number 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men. That's a scary verse. Let me tell you why that's a scary verse. Because sometimes there are some things that's going on in Mike Bonner's mind that shouldn't be going on there. And I need the purification of the word. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart. Clean them up. Purify them. Why? Because I want the secret things that are in my soul, in my mind, in my will, in my intellect. I want it washed out because God is going to judge the secret things. He knows when I hate somebody, when I tell him I like them. He knows when I'm hiding pornography in my heart. He knows when I want to do something evil to someone, but really I'm not. He knows those things that's going on, those secret things when I've taken money from someone and haven't said anything. Friends, those are those secret things. And whatever is secret, God says, I need you to confess it before me so I can forgive you. 1 John 1 and verse number 9. Why? Because the last thing we want is something secret to face us in the judgment day. It's a great day coming. But notice what the text, friends. By Jesus Christ, here it is. This is in accordance to John 12:48-49. According to my gospel. According to the word. Friends, God wants us to understand that we're going to be judged. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13, in the context of judging our Christian brothers and sisters in matters of opinion, we understand that we have to be careful because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2. It's going to be an individual judgment. Philippians 14 and verse 12. Every man is going to be judged according to their deeds. Now, this is interesting. Let me throw this in. In Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46, here we have the judgment scene. And we have Jesus who is sitting on his throne. And he's going to have him separating the sheep from the goat, the right on the left. And he's going to be talking to them about certain things. And he said, when you saw me in this particular position, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in need of a place to stay, I was in prison, I was sick, you came unto me. When did we see that? When you did it to the least of them, you did them to me. This is the day of judgment. This is a conversation going on. But then you got the other side. And the conversation is not that good. Friends, the day of judgment is going to be a great day, but it's going to be a horrible day for some. We're glad that you're here. And the reason why we're glad that you're here, because you put yourself in a position that the judgment day can actually be a great day. If there's sin in your life, you can actually get it right. You can repent. You can confess before the congregation, James 5, verse 16, and get it right. You can do that. If it's a private sin, you can deal with God by you and him by yourself. If it's a public sin, you brought reproach upon the church, you can make that right. A person that has been baptized into Christ, there's no reason for them to face God in judgment and hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But you ought to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Why is that important, Brother Bonner? It's important because of Romans 2 and verse number 2, God is going to judge according to truth. It's important because no one is going to escape Romans 2 and verse 3. There's no hiding. There's no partiality, Romans 5 and verse number 11. Everyone will acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, that he's Lord. I'm reminded on the day of Pentecost, Brother Brian, when Peter was preaching and he was talking about David and how he was dead and his sepulcher is with us even to this day, and how Jesus is sitting on his throne. And I'm reminded of what he said in verse 36, "And God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord," and there it is, "ruler." You know why people don't come to worship sometimes, why they don't come to Bible class, why they don't live right? Because they want to be their own Lord. Nobody tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. I'm my own leader. I'm my own Lord. No, Jesus is Lord. And guess what? There's a song we sing in camp that we make him Lord of our lives. No, you can't. God made him Lord. God made Jesus Lord. He made him judge. He made him ruler. He made him head. He made him sovereign. He made him... Y'all get the point? God made. We can't make Jesus none of those things because we don't have that power. Only God has that power. Question: are you ready to submit to his lordship? So when you stand before him on that great day, you'll hear, "Well done." Because friends, that day is coming. That day is coming. Let me give you 12 things. 12 things that's going to take place on the great day of judgment. Number one, our bodies will be redeemed through the adoption. You know, we're going to receive a different body, a celestial body. We have this physical, mortal body that has immortality within it, the soul of man. We're going to receive that new body that John speaks of in 1 John 3, 2 and 3. We don't know what we're going to be as, but we do know that we're going to be like he is. Let's go ahead and stamp out a false doctrine that's going around the church right now. Some were saying that the body that Jesus had when he was raised from the dead is the same body that he has right now in glory. That's not true. The reason why we know it's not true is because when Jesus was raised from the dead, he told his disciples in Luke chapter 23 that his body, which was flesh and bone, could not be spirit. We understand that Jesus told Thomas, "Stick your finger into the nail prints." Jesus, at one-on-one occasion after his resurrection, Brother Pope Joy said, "Do you have any meat so we can eat?" A spirit cannot eat. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. So when Jesus was raised, he was upon the earth for 40 days. And when he was on the earth for 40 days, the cloud took him up in Acts 1 and verse number 9. This is prophesied in Daniel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. "I saw in the night visions one like the Son of Man come with the cloud of heaven, brought him to the Ancient of Days, and was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom." Friends, that was given to Jesus. And as Jesus is going up into the cloud, his body is then changed. How would he know? Because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. False doctrine. Bam. Stamped out right there. There's nothing arrogant about that. But we got brothers who are saying that we're going to have this body like Jesus and his flesh and blood. Friends, there's one passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. On that day of judgment, friends, we're going to have a different body. It's going to be a spiritual body. Number two, we will forever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Oh, unlike some who go in and out in our lives. Once we get to where God is, we'll be in that great city after the judgment day. Number three, the world as we know it will be burned up. Number four, Jesus will deliver the kingdom, which is the church, back to God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 24. God will then be all in all. Verse number 28. Friends, we stop and we consider the sonship of Jesus. No longer will the sonship be needed. Why? Because it is through the sonship that we go to God through Jesus Christ in prayer. And when it's all said and done, the sonship will be laid down. Jesus will lay that down, and there will be in the presence of Almighty God. Bible is right. Jesus will put down all authority. Verse 24. Death will be destroyed. I was just told some sad news by Brother Popejoy about a good brother, Brother Don Boyd in Blue Spring, Missouri. Just lost his son to an aneurysm. You know, when we get to heaven, no more aneurysms. No more heart attacks. No more surgeries, Brother Ventura. No more rotator cuffs and biceps messed up. My back hurting right now, legs hurting. I don't care. You know why? I got a new body coming. It's coming. I just got to wait. My life is halfway over, praise God. Halfway over. Sometimes we look at things negatively when we ought to look at them positively. All right, things are not going well with my physical body. Live right and you'll get one and never have to see destruction. Never. Death will be no longer. Our mortal flesh will put on immortality, 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 54. We will be like Jesus, 1 John 3, 2 and 3. We'll be in the presence of Almighty God. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 22. Look at verses 2 through 4, friends. And I guarantee you, if your heart is hurting, hopefully after these passages, it will lift you up. In Revelation 22, notice verses 1 through verse number 4. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruits every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. Remember when God cursed man and cursed the earth and cursed the serpent? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants, that's us. That's us, friends. And everyone who has been faithful to God, whether under the patriarchal system, the Mosaic system, yea, the Christian dispensation, shall serve him. Are you serving God now? You know, if you're not serving God now, there's no service there. You got to serve him now. You got to serve him on this time side of the judgment. They shall see his face. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what that means. Because God doesn't have a face. God is spirit. God is invisible. I take it this way. We'll be in his presence. Whatever it is. Which is opposite, the antithesis of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, those who don't obey the gospel of Christ and from the glory of God, they'll be separated from the glory of God and his presence. But notice what he says. And his name shall be on their forehead. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Friends, what's going to happen on this great day? We'll be exposed to the greatness of God. It's a good day. But unfortunately, there's so much carnality in the minds of people that they can't even see this great day that's coming. So we're going to enter in through the gates. Revelation 22 and verse number 14. The unfaithful, the unbelieving will be separated from them, from us. And they're going to be outside of this great city. Next week, we're going to talk about more of this great day. We're going to talk more about that judgment day. But here's the question. Are you ready to go today? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, test yourself, whether you be in the faith. Well, Brother Bono, are we really, truly ever ready? We have to be. The Bible teaches us to be ready. Have faith in God, in His righteousness, doing things His way. There's a great day coming. And the question is, are we ready for that great day? Have we prepared ourselves? If you're not a Christian, are you prepared? If you're not a Christian, we want you to get prepared, rather. We want you to obey the gospel. And the gospel is still good news. I was privileged to be in a gospel meeting last week, and brother sent me a message. Man, the fruit is going forward. We've got baptisms. Praise God. People are still hearing the gospel message in its purity, and they're obeying that gospel. It's good news. And it's good news regardless of who says it's not. It's good news that a man came from heaven who loved us so much and gave his life for us. It's good news that he has given us a message that we can obey and that we can live by. It's good news that we can have our sins washed away and our conscience cleansed from dead works to serve him. It's good news that he gives us a hope of eternal life. It's good news that we can live with God. It's good news. But for some of us, good news is carnal. But good news is spiritual. Whether we have everything we need or want, whether we don't, whether our bodies are working properly or not, whether our children are acting right or not, whether the government is doing what is right or not, we have good news. And that good news is that Jesus is sitting on the throne. And that good news is one day he's coming back. And that good news is he's coming for his kingdom and he's going to give it back to God. And that good news, we're going to live with him throughout eternity. Friends, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. I'm going to let you go because I'm all wired up right now. That's good news, friends. Because sometimes we receive news that make our hearts sink. And then we receive good news that makes our hearts mad. Then we receive good news that makes our hearts joyous. Then we receive good news that ought to just blow us out of proportion with praise and honor toward God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Because baptism is essential for salvation. Why? Because that's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ. Why? Because that's what God said. That's all that's us. It doesn't matter what man says. God says, I'm going to clean you by the blood of my son. Be faithful. Now I'm talking to us. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Friends, every last one of us need each other. We are our brother's keeper. Let's build up one another in the most holy faith. Let's help one another to get prepared for judgment day. And if you can't help me get prepared, leave me alone. Amen. Because we're all in this together. We're holding hands together. We need one another. And one thing I love about the Godhead, they're all together. And the God the Father, who became God the Son, because of God the Spirit, never left one another. They always was there together. Let's build up one another. And let's help one another. So when we get the glory, we could possibly tell one another, Brother Ventura, thank you for helping me get here. Thank you. As we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.